How are you guys doing this morning? Good. There is few out here today. It was a slippery road coming down, so I understand. I understand totally. But only because of the snow do I understand that there's a lot of people not here today. If you're watching online, I'm watching you, just so. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about AI today. And believe it or not, it's not artificial intelligence. Although, artificial intelligence I thought would be fun to talk about a little bit while we're getting into the city of AI this morning. But I think it's kind of funny. I think when AI was first like really starting to hit the scene, like all I could think of is this the Antichrist? I'll be honest. Like I was thinking about it like that. I don't know. I'm not trying to, you know, label that for you guys, but I was like, man, could this be the Antichrist? Could this be AI be the Antichrist? Artificial intelligence. And the reason I say that is because those numbers, 666, means human interaction. Means human, 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 basically. And seven are godly numbers, right? And six was under God. And so, anyway, I'm a conspiracy theorist a little bit, so that's why I'm like, AI, oh no, I don't know. Anyway, for the fun of it though, I got into ChatGPT. Don't worry. And I wrote, write me a sermon on Joshua chapter 7 and 8. And I'll tell you, like, it wasn't bad. Like, it was pretty good. I'm not going to be giving you that sermon today. However, it wasn't bad. So anyway, I'm still at war with myself as to whether or not I should even use AI at all. But anyway, I thought it was fun. It was a fun little thing. So anyway, I guarantee you this is not from AI. However, I had it write my conclusion, and I'll read the conclusion for you today from AI. So hopefully that doesn't offend anybody. All right. We're going to look in Joshua chapter 7, and the time here is about 1450 BC, and they just defeated Jericho in chapter 6. And if you guys are familiar with the story of Jericho, God did an amazing thing where they really just marched around the walls until the walls came down. And then, it was a big shout and all that kind of stuff. So a pretty cool moment for them at Jericho. But there were some real big rules with how they dealt with the spoils of Jericho, right? They couldn't take the things, certain things they were not allowed to take, and everything else they were supposed to burn. And so there was no spoils that they were supposed to bring home with them from Jericho as the Israelites defeated them. So we're going to get into Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. It says, but Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of these dedicated things. So the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Achan was the son of Carmi, a descendant of Zimri, son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah. Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Bethaven. When they returned, they told Joshua, there's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai, since there are so few of them. Don't make all our people struggle to go up there. So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothing in dismay, threw dust on their heads, and bowed face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening. Then Joshua cried out, O Lord, O sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you are going to let the Amorites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side. Lord, what can I say now that Israel has fled from its enemies? For when the Canaanites and all the other people living in the land hear about it, they will surround us and wipe our name off the face of the earth. And then what will happen to the honor of your great name? So they see this small city basically up on the hill, and they're saying, oh, it's not going to take much to attack these guys. And so 3,000 men go up there to attack. But then they're chased down and 36 of them are killed and in the process. This is totally the opposite of marching around walls, letting them fall down and conquering cities and burning it down like they just came out of. And they're like, whoa, 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 God just delivered us. Why? Just to go get like defeated all of a sudden? This doesn't even make any sense. And of course, they're in mourning and they're tearing their clothes and dust on their head and they're crying out. And then even Joshua challenges God for a second there. Like, are you just going to let us be trampled on, basically? Are you just going to let us fail? That's gonna send you a poor message to your name, Lord. And have you ever leaned on your own understanding in a situation? Like, you see something, you come up against something, and you're like, oh, this is the best way to do it. I'm going to go after it this way. And then when you get defeated in that, you're like, wait a second, I don't understand. Like, this should have been just a slam dunk, right? Maybe it's even something that God has told you you will be able to get through. Maybe it's something that, like, God has told you you will win this battle in some way. Maybe you prayed about it and you're like, oh, God said this is how it's going to be. And we're going to win this. We're going to go through this and we're going to complete what we were supposed to complete here. But yet you were faced with a challenge that defeated you. Has that ever happened to anybody? I mean, if you've been in church a while, it's probably happened at some point to where you felt defeated by what you thought God was going to do, but then it didn't happen. All right. Well, come to find out a little bit later, we'll just read verses 10 and 12. 10 through 12. But the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why are you lying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They have stolen some of the things that I commanded must be set apart for me. And they have not only stolen them, but have lied about it and hidden the things among their own belongings. That is why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. For now Israel itself has been set apart for destruction. I will not remain with you any longer unless you destroy the things among you that were set apart for destruction. Now, I know this might sound like I'm taking this message to a place of like, well, if you're not getting the things that you want in life, then you must not be in alignment with God. That's not where I'm going with this. I want to make sure that's really clear because, you know, God does send us through some hard things. And, you know, these Israelites, they aren't having it great. I'll say that. They might be winning battles, but they're told not to take the spoils on some of these things. Like, it's not easy. It's hard things. But then they come up against this thing where there's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. It's not supposed to be like this, God. And he comes back with, there's sin in the camp. Mixing the things of this world with the things of God. It's so easy for us sometimes where we just get into these patterns and we get into these lackadaisical kind of patterns in church and in our life and in our marriages, in our personal life, where we just kind of let things slip a little bit. We let things slide and we let things creep in. We let sin creep in, right? And I want to make sure it's clear today that there's no acceptable amount of sin in life. No. Yes, there's grace and there's forgiveness, but I want to clarify. Like, sometimes we live in that grace on expectation that we can live however we want to. We can live with a little bit of things that we want. We can lean on our own understanding a little bit. You hear what I'm saying? We get to this place where we numb our senses a little bit and we let things slide. And so that's what I'm going to talk to you guys about today, is letting things slide. We want to get back to a place where we're in right standing with God, where we are able to hit the battles on the head because we're doing exactly what God asks us to do and we're not taking spoils for ourselves in that manner. Okay, so you may be able to hide some things from your neighbors, but not from God. And I know this sounds really hard, and don't worry, we will get to grace. Don't worry, Jesus is coming in the end. But so don't worry about that. But I want you guys to understand the seriousness of sin first before we get to that place. So in verse 10 and 12, it says, get up. There's sin in the camp. And God says to destroy the roots of sin. This loving God, he loves us so much, right? And we sometimes get this idea that he would never kill anybody or anything like that. And he would never do anything like that. But it says right here, destroy the roots of that sin. And Achan and household was all stoned, because that's how serious God is about sin. Sin is that serious of a thing. And all he did was he took some things, like some gold, some silver, and some robes, and he buried them in his tent, underneath his tent, and just held on to those things. He didn't take a lot. It was just a little bit. But God is serious. When he says something to us, we should take it seriously. We don't want to be relaxed. Achan got relaxed, and he was like, you know, but a little bit's okay. But a little bit's okay. There's no acceptable amount of sin. And Jesus actually proves that. Yes, his blood proves that we have forgiveness for our sin. But his life, a sinless life, proves that there is no acceptance in sin. Jesus' life did not have a little bit of sin in it. He didn't accept 1 ounce of it. And so that's supposed to be an example to us. Jesus is supposed to be an example to us that we shouldn't even allow 1 ounce in. But thank God for his death on the cross, that we have grace, and that because of his perfect life, we get to stand with him between us and God, if that makes sense. Like, as God looks to us, he sees his son. Let's go into Romans chapter 5. I think they changed the spelling of Romans. I've looked over it like 5 times. Just kidding. All right. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died. From the time of Adam to the time, of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did, now Adam is a symbol of representation of Christ, who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this man, one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. I was supposed to stop at 15. Yeah, okay. So that just proves it. Jesus did it, right? There's no acceptable amount of sin. Jesus proved that by living a sinless life. And then Jesus, this is Romans 5. Paul admits it. He says, this is what happened. This is Jesus did it. And so we're going to go on with 16 through 21. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen is right. And I don't mean to be so heavy this morning, but I want you guys to understand, like, just because there's grace doesn't mean we need to practice the sin that we need grace for. Letting a little bit of sin come into camp is just as bad as letting it all come into camp. Like, there's no difference between a little bit and a lot. And that's something that we need to be aware of, is be careful and be checking ourselves. You know, like, I shouldn't gossip, but this is my close friend and I'm going to go ahead and I need to spill the beans on this thing because I just need somebody. You know what I mean? Like, be careful. Is it still gossip? Even if it's just a little bit? Even if it's your best friend? Be careful. Anyway, that was pretty quiet. Okay. All right. Yes, we live in the dispensation of God's grace through Jesus, not to be like Achan, but to allow us forgiveness. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about standards. We lower our standards sometimes. And what you put in with, or excuse me, what you put up with is what you end up with. So if we put up with a little bit of a lower standard, we're going to end up with a lower standard life. Does that make sense? If we allow the standard not to be the standard anymore, then we've lowered the bar. And, you know, when you lower the bar, you don't make it to where the bar was. You set the bar, right? God sets the bar. But, like, we lower the bar, we don't arrive quicker to the goal. We just arrive at the wrong goal. When you lower the bar, you don't just get over it now and you're like, oh, we achieved something. No, you achieved something totally different. You can't go into the Olympics and, like, they lower the bar for you and they say, oh, we made it over. He gets the gold medal. No, that's not how it works, right? All right. The standard is the standard. I heard a guy preaching on this the other day, a few months ago, actually. But he mentioned lowering his standards in his home. And he's a preacher. And anyway, he said that he had a 15-year-old daughter that she started bringing, like, little rocks in the house. And they're, like, little crystal-looking rocks and stuff. And, you know, it was like, oh, they're just rocks, you know. And, like, they would buy them at these little places around that kind of thought they were more than rocks. And anyway, so he's like, ah, she's just buying little rocks, you know. And so she'd bring these little crystals in, rocks, and she would have them because they were cute or whatever and all that. Well, then it just kind of progressed. It kept getting more of these rocks and things. And then he wasn't really paying that close attention, but he was like, ah, they're just like, yeah, there's more things that she's getting, but they're not actually, like, powerful. There's nothing in them. You know, there's nothing like that. Well, him and his wife were out one day, and they were at a friend's house. They were sitting there having dinner or something like that, and all of a sudden his wife, like, just was like, looks at him and was like, hey, we got to go home, like, now. And he's like, okay, let's go home. And they get in the car, and she's like, I don't know why, but we just got to get home. And so they get home, and they walk in the door, and they see their daughter with a knife to her chest. And she's about to take her own life because they lowered their standards and they let sin creep in. They let things of other worlds, I guess this world, creep in to their home. And then the guy actually cast a demon out of his daughter that night. And it was just an amazing explanation of why, or how a little bit creeps in, and how a little bit grows, and how a little bit might seem like a little bit, but it almost took his daughter's life in the process of that. So I wanted to share that with you guys because I thought it was such an amazing story that we can actually get to a place where we don't even recognize that we've lowered our standards. So what are standards that God told you to uphold that you thought were a request, but they were a command? That's a heavy thinking statement. You guys ever have those, like, those things in our heads of, like, you know, you shouldn't do this, but we go forth anyway. We kind of, you know, God set a standard, and we just went ahead and, like, bent it a little bit. I hope so, because I've done that. Like, I hope I'm not the only one. Akon, I guess me and Akon have something in common a little bit. All right. But it's amazing that when you drop your standards, you lose battles that you were meant to win. God might have promised that you would win something, but it's us that have stepped away sometimes. We've lowered our own standards, and we didn't win that battle anymore. Just like Joshua and Jericho in the battle after Jericho, Battle of Ai, they lowered the standard, and that was a promise that they would beat these people, right? They would beat all these people, and God sends them to do it, but yet they didn't win. God didn't change. God's promises didn't change. They changed their part of the deal. The moment you raise your standards, you don't lose your spot. So I want to make sure that's important today too. The moment you lose you raise your standards, you don't lose your spot. You don't go back to Jericho to take the promise now. God doesn't work backwards. He works from right now forward. So it might seem really depressing and all that I'm talking about, but the hope is that we'd make a difference. We change something inside of us, that not that we fix our past, because that's not how God works. He doesn't go back and say, that never happened. Great. You know, he doesn't bring back the 36 lives that were lost coming down the hill at Ai. That's not what. But what he does do is he does redeem, and he does bring you in right standing, and then brings you into the victory now. You may not have yesterday's victory, but you have the promised victory coming when we can push out the things that the low standards, raise that bar back up, because God's promises are true forever and ever, right? And so if we were to read on, which I can just sum it up for you if you want. Basically, if we read on in Joshua, that they get rid of Achan and his family, and then they go and they take on the city of Ai, and they just crush them. And God's promise is fulfilled in that city. So God is not just doing work on the future either. I want you guys to realize that. God is also doing work right now. Sometimes we think, well, I'll raise the standard back up, but it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. It's like, hold on. God's bigger than that. Sometimes he might tarry to do something else, but he can fix it right now. Sometimes we think that we've got ourselves in a pit that's so deep because we've lowered our standard for so long or whatever, or the mistake was so big. But God's so much bigger than that. God is so much bigger than any mistake or standard that you've lowered. When we raise that bar, we can look for him to fulfill his promise that was for right now. And so I'm not saying that you're going to get all the good things that you ever wanted. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm saying God's promise in your life will be true. But he doesn't work backwards. He works from right now and forward. We can't use our faith to change yesterday. Our faith doesn't just shape the future, though. It changes the right now. We fight the daily battles in things such as being in prayer or going to church, etc., whatever it is. Sometimes we fight those daily battles. Let's put those standards back up. Let's get our kids to church more, right? I say that as my kids aren't here, but they're sick. So let's get our kids here. Let's start bringing people to church again, right? You remember the days where we used to invite people to church? Maybe you still do. I'm not getting after you about that. But I'm just saying, like, let's go back to the standards that we started with. Can we do that today? Amen. All right. Can we live without the bondage of sin today? And the answer is yes. And if we read in Romans 8, it tells us that we can live without that bondage of sin. And that's a promise from God. That is a promise from God. And so we can accept and take that promise once we raise our standards back up and we go for it. Sorry, I know I'm bouncing around a little bit. My plan was to finish my notes this morning and as far as like organizing them. But then when I ended up playing worship instead. So just bouncing around a little bit. So the message of Jesus, we were up here for communion, and I want to make sure that that isn't the second message we heard today, but it's the first. And that our sin is our sin. However, we can deal with it. We can live in sinless, or in a place where we are in right standing with God through Jesus, right? And that takes repentance. It doesn't just take raising our standards, but repentance as well for the sin in our life. And I know that we can probably all remember, most all of us remember a time where we spent time at the altar and tears rolling down our face and repentance or asking for forgiveness. And we turn around and walk away, and time just kind of lets things slip a little bit. That doesn't mean that you don't get your forgiveness. I want you guys to know that too. Jesus died for your sins, right? For every sin, not just the sins until the last time you prayed and then now you've made another sin, whatever. So I want to make you guys aware of that for sure. But it's just all about giving our life to Christ. That's why we do what we do up here. It doesn't mean that we have to be perfect, and it doesn't mean that we can't have sin in our life. However, it does mean if we know of our sin, we need to raise that bar. We need to get rid of it. And I just want to encourage you guys with that today. I want to encourage you guys to move away from sin instead of letting it stay in our hearts, instead of letting it be a part of our life, instead of living that lower barred life that we arrive at the wrong destination, and raise the bar back up again. Not because we need to be able to achieve something, but because it's to honor God and to honor the life that he has given you and to honor his son, Jesus. Like I said, I'd had AI write my conclusion today. You guys want to hear it? You can say no. Oh, there's okay. All right. As we conclude, let us remember that our journey of faith will inevitably include challenges and setbacks. Yet through the stories of Joshua 7 and 8, we are reminded that even in the face of our failures and trials, God remains faithful. Let us take heart, knowing that through repentance, obedience, and reliance on God's guidance, we can overcome every obstacle and experience his victory in our lives. May we be a people who walk in humility, seeking God's forgiveness when we stumble, and trusting in his unfailing love and faithfulness to lead us into his promised blessings. Amen. It even says amen. So, anyway, I don't know. It's just awkward to read that from a machine, but it worked out. It was a good conclusion. But anyway, would you pray with me? We're just going to conclude in that way. God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your son Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, it's not just a thing that we say or a thing that we admit is true, but it's a life changed, and it's a standard raised in our life that we know that our life is worth nothing without you. Our life needs to be lived for you. And Lord, we just pray that as we leave this place today, Lord, that we don't leave without repentance, that we don't leave without drawing closer to you. God, that we don't leave without searching our own hearts for the things that we've lowered the standard on, for the things that you've already told us we shouldn't do, God, and we did anyway. God, I pray that we don't leave this room with those things just being a new pattern or a continued pattern in our lives. God, I pray for continual, approach to you on our everyday life. God, just a constant approach to you and looking for these things in our lives that we've lowered the standards on. God, not just so that we can try to be better than anyone else or perfect or anything like that, but God, because that you are worthy of it. You are worthy of every breath that we breathe and every statement we make, every step we take, whatever we can do with any part of our bodies, God, you are worthy of the honor in that. So God, this morning, I thank you for just sending your son, Jesus, that he covers the multitude of sin in our lives. God, that there is no gap too far that he can't fill if we choose to follow him and to believe in his death and resurrection and what it's done for our lives. God, we thank you so much that you love us. God, let us be a church that is known by your love through us. God, that we would be known by our love to the ones around us. And so God, as your message of sin and is heavy, you've lifted us up through Jesus. And God, that our lives should